The Fiery's rally in the centre of the city appears to have come to an end. Jim Casey is the State Secretary of the Fire Brigade Employees Union. He's with us now. Good afternoon to you, Jim Casey.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Would you declare this rally a success? You haven't got what you wanted yet.
No, I wouldn't. I think that this is the first round of what, unfortunately, I think might be a long and bruising dispute.
Why did you decide to take the action that you took today? It is a very long time since the Fire Brigade has called a strike.
56 years since we've had a total stoppage. So clearly it's not something we do lightly and it's not something we do every day. But in a sense, the federal government gave us no choice. The legislation, the workers' comp legislation, was introduced 2 days ago. They pushed it through the lower house on the first day, for the upper house now. We had a window to act and we had to take it. Now, as I said earlier, we've got a two-speed approach to the legislation.
Yeah, just explain that for us, because I think there's been a bit of a bit of confusion around this, and certainly a lot of the feedback from those of us listening today has been fairly polarised. You're essentially treated differently in terms of compensation if you're injured to what a policeman would be or even a member of the Rural Fire Service. Is that
exactly
correct?
Exactly right. Yeah, it is.
So what do you not get that they do get?
Well, there's the question of the journey travel cover. Essentially, everyone in New South Wales is losing that, apart from volunteer firefighters and the police. And then there's, there's so much detail with this, but in terms of at what point your payment's cut out, in terms of how long you receive medical support, how they define seriously disabled or partially disabled, all of these things are going to have bottom line impacts on injured workers. Mm. And really, you know, this legislation, I think, is indefensible in its entirety, but the fact that we have this gross double standard about firefighters is the bridge too far for us.
Just give me a tangible example of what this might mean, though. I notice in a lot of the texts that I'm getting in this afternoon from those of us listening into these conversations, people are saying, well, there's a lot of small business owners, they never get anything. If they get injured, you get something, that's better than nothing. What are you complaining about?
Oh, yeah, and look, I think there's two ways to look at that. You can say we're getting something that small business owners aren't, therefore we should lose it. We can make an argument that small business people should get it as well. That's one point. The second point I'd make is that firefighting is a very dangerous occupation. We get hurt at a higher rate than most other workers, be they small business people or not. And really, look, our job is essentially to go where no one else wants to go. We're the ones who run into the buildings that other people are running out of. I don't think it's too much to expect some consistency from the government in terms of how they look after the people who do that, be they paid or unpaid.
Have you had any explanation from the state government as to why they see you differently to the way they see the Rural Fire Service and the police?
No. Look, to be frank, I think it's either just simply politically expedient that they've done it this way, or it's entirely possible, given they've rushed it through so quickly and with so little consultation, that they weren't aware of the inconsistency. But in either, look, you'd have to ask the Minister or ask the Premier, but no one's been able to give me an answer. Mm.
You obviously had a very loud, very noisy protest with the fire trucks out there, the water cannons turned on. Why did you decide to do that?
Look, you know, it's a symbolic action, really. The question of us using the water cannon, that was from the aerial appliance, so the giant cherry picker we used to hose down roofs. But this legislation, as far as we can see, it's dirty legislation. It's taking money from injured workers and flicking it back to the insurance companies. And, I reckon by any reasonable person's definition, that's pretty grubby. So we thought the house needed a clean down and we gave it a bit of a scrub. Now, just to keep it in perspective, it was on a nice spray pattern and it just really wet the roof down. So it wasn't like we were blasting the place to pieces. It was just to make the point that the way our feral's carrying on at the moment, we think is grubby, and we tried to clean it.
A lot of the people listening today seem to be a bit irked by that. I've had a huge number of texts and calls from people saying, these are public resources, who's paying for the petrol, all that kind of thing. Now's your opportunity to justify it.
I'd sort of say some of them, if the community is serious about their fire protection, they should protect their firefighters. And if we end up using a few gallons of water and a few litres of petrol to make the point that this government is not treating its workforce, particularly its emergency services workforce, properly, we should be applauded. If we have any success with this campaign, you'll see a well-resourced and a better morale. So we're well-resourced fire service with better morale, and that means we can do our job better. I really take exception with someone who's going to have a bit of a whinge about the water or the petrol, given, again, they'll be the people who expect us to be charging into their structures if they're alight and dragging them and their families out.
Potentially further strike action, do you think, if the legislation goes through? What's the path forward for you?
We're a democratic union, so any decision will have to be made by the Committee of Management in the first instance and the Board of Membership in the second. But, yeah, certainly all options are on the table. Like I said at the start of this interview, unfortunately, I think this is round one, and, we're not prepared to actually just sit down and be quiet. So, unfortunately, there might be a round two. I would say this can be easily fixed. The legislation as it stands, they've exempted 70,000 RFS volunteers. There are 7,000 paid firefighters in this state. There's no sound economic argument. There's no sound common sense argument about why they're running a double spurt approach on this.
Mm. So there's essentially another 7,000 to add to the 70,000 that they've exempted.
Yeah. Or if you throw in the police, the 30,000 now, I mean, it's 100,000 exemptions.
Yeah.
Now, I really don't think anyone should have to cop this workers' compensation legislation, but given that the government has established this double standard, we want that resolved in the first instance.
Okay. We'll leave it there this afternoon, Jim Casey. We appreciate your time. And I know a lot of people are ringing up with views on this, but we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Thank you very much.